The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen. Amen. I recognize there's a lot going on in life. I got troubles and tribulations too, but every now and then, woo, Jesus, you got to recognize the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And if you can't recognize it in your own life, praise God for your neighbor, because if you knew what they were going through, if you knew what it took just for them to get here, amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory and to God be the praise. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to say thank you. We come to praise you and we come to lift you up. We come to acknowledge the fact that you are God and you are God all by yourself. As a matter of fact, we come to acknowledge the fact that you are alive and doing well. We know we're going to soon be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, but we recognize you have already been resurrected. Amen. You still sit high and you look low. And so, Father God, we ask that you would just permeate this place. We ask that you would increase as we decrease. Now, Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God, hide me that you would be seen. Silence me that you would be heard. As a matter of fact, give me clarity of thought and speech, for our desire is that you would be uplifted. Lord, if we can glorify you, the people will be edified, and that will satisfy us. It is truly in Jesus' name for Christ that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so. Amen. Amen. Again, the word of God will come from the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Amen. We're reading the second, the third, and the fourth verse. James, a familiar passage of Scripture. But I declare there is a fresh word from heaven. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The New International Version says, Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Am I talking to anybody that's ever had to face any trials? It says, of many kinds. I was listening to the theme of the choir, and they continue to carry on a theme of our year, 365 days of possibilities. But then I listened to the Sunday school today, and they began to let us know that and it's not a revelation, but it is true, that everything happens in God's time. So I thought about it as the Lord was dealing with me all this week, and I was asking the Lord for revelation. When he gave me this passage, I said, okay, Lord, this is a familiar passage. What is it that you want me to say? So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject. If God puts you on hold, don't hang up. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If God puts you on hold, don't hang up. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if God puts you on hold, don't you hang up. Come on, somebody. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, amen, and amen. Let me read that same passage from the Message translation. You know, the Message translation is more of a commentary, but I like the way they put it on today. He puts this passage. He says, consider it a sheer gift. Friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Come on, somebody. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Quick survey. I don't need you to raise your hand, but if you hear something, give me at least an amen, a nod, or something. Amen, clear your throat. But how many of you have ever been put on hold? Huh? Come on, somebody. Amen. Okay. How many of you have ever gotten mad when you were on hold, especially if it was for a long time? Huh? Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's hear a few more throats clearing. How many of you hung up eventually after being on hold for too long, which is relative, I know, but it was too long for you? Come on, somebody. Amen. And how many of you had a few choice words and an attitude even after you hung up on whoever it is that had you on hold? Now, don't repeat those words, but I should hear some amen. Some conviction just went through the house. So on today, we want to talk about, what do you do when God puts you on hold? First, let me illustrate to you a few examples of some people from the Bible who were put on hold. Moses was on hold for 42 years on the backside of the desert before God spoke to him at a burning bush. David was chased by Saul for 16 years in the wilderness before he was crowned king of Judah. Jesus let Lazarus die. Then he waited before showing up at the cemetery. He kept Mary and Martha waiting for 4 days. But then on the other hand, I'm one of those, I understand, there are some, though, who seem to get through immediately. Amen? Think about it. Jairus came to beg for the life of his daughter. The Bible says that Jesus went with him immediately. The nobleman, he came and begged for the life of his sick son. And the Bible says that Jesus healed his son immediately. But then there was the man who for 37 years was at the pool of Bethesda. But when he came across Jesus, the Bible says that immediately he walked. Which begs the question, what might be some reasons why God would put us on hold? Teach, Holy Ghost. Well, one reason is found right here in our text. One reason potentially God may put us on hold is because God might be testing your character. Amen. God might be testing your character. Again, the Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think that you can agree with me that in the life of faith, the waiting on God sometimes seems to be the hardest part. Just as we dislike waiting on the phone, we dislike waiting at restaurants. What's the first thing you ask when you walk in a restaurant? They don't immediately seat you. Uh-huh. I mean, how long is the wait? Because in your mind, you're going to decide how long you're going to wait. That's right. We don't like waiting in lines of any kind. Huh? We don't like waiting in traffic, etc. But the truth be told, speak Holy Ghost, we also don't like waiting on God to act on our behalf. I mean, it's not that we don't want God to act, Brown. It's just that we want him to act on our behalf in our timing and not his. I mean, we know, the Bible tells us, Keeling, we know that God wants to teach us patience and perseverance. We just want him to hurry up and do it. Amen. One reason that the waiting seems to be the hardest part is that we are often tempted to question God's timing and God's ability in our situation when it seems from our perspective that he's not doing anything about it. The danger in this, however, is, hear me, is if we fail to overcome the temptation of questioning God's timing and questioning God's ability, it could lead us to potentially more troubles. When we get frustrated with God, it's then that we are tempted to look to the world for our solutions to our situation. Teach, Holy Ghost. Second possibility why God may put us on hold is because God may be purifying your motives. God may be purifying your motives. Sometimes we're on hold because God wants to check the motives of our why we are asking what we are asking. Amen. Turn over. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Y'all didn't close your Bible, did you? Turn over in your Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 3, again in the NIV. James says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Huh? I'm in the text. See, y'all think I'm just up here babbling. I'm in the Word of God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, I heard y'all earlier, this really, James 4 is a whole nother teaching because it deals with quarrelsome and mess going on in the church. That's a whole nother teaching. It's a whole nother teaching. Amen. Because we get too selfish in our motivation. See, but in this text, and within regards to what God wants to say, he says, when you ask, you don't receive because you're asking with wrong motives. He said, because you want what you want, because you want to spend it on your own pleasures. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. Have you ever prayed for something really hard and never gotten it? I mean, you prayed, but God didn't just provide whatever you were praying for you. And there was a result. Maybe you complained to God about it. Teach, Holy Ghost. Maybe you complain to others about how God wasn't answering your prayer. Or maybe, just maybe, you didn't say anything. You just quit praying. I'm talking to somebody. Is it possible that when we do pray, we're praying for the wrong things, or possibly, watch this, or maybe with the wrong spirit? Could it even be the case that we are sometimes worldly in our prayers, praying for things that would make us comfortable and improve our lot down here in this world, in this lifetime, rather than praying with heaven in view for things that we know that God wants for us? Someone has said, prayer is not an easy way of getting what we want, but it's the only way of becoming what God wants us to be. I say it again. See, we use prayer for the wrong motivation. Someone has said that prayer is not an easy way of getting what we want, but it's the only way of becoming what God wants us to be. And so it may well be that some hindrances to some of our prayers, at least for some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, is the result of having a worldly attitude. Man, I don't know about you, but I need to constantly remind myself that prayer is not a means of manipulating God to get him to do what I want him to do. Prayer is not my free pass, Miller, that exempts me from problems. Prayer is not the means to an end of selfish ambition. Even if that selfish ambition is masked with nice religious language. Boy, y'all know if can't nobody pray, we know can pray. We are some praying folk. You ever listen to some of our prayers? I don't care, in church, out of church. You ever listen to some prayers? Like, what are you talking about? I ain't just talking about other folk. Have you listened to your own prayers? And just step back and say, what in the world are you talking about? You're babbling. God has said every now and then, you need to hear what I got to say to you. Just might be that God is trying to check our motives, our motivation. Another reason you may be put on hold is because God just might be trying to focus your faith. There are many times when we lose our focus. Y'all were talking about it this morning in Sunday school. There are many times daily that we lose our focus. That's why Jesus said that we have to daily deny ourselves. I sat there and listened to it. We have to deny ourselves daily. Take up the cross. Follow him. The reason why we take up the cross is because of nothing else. That gets our focus back right. We got to get our focus right. Amen. There are many times we lose our focus, but we lose our focus sometimes. Let's just be honest. We lose our focus sometimes because of fear, because of impatience, because of doubts. Mary and Martha sent a message to tell Jesus that their brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters expected Jesus to heal from a distance. The Bible lets us know he did nothing for 2 days. Then Jesus took approximately another 2 days just to get to Bethany. At that point, you know the text, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. In the interim, Mary and Martha both kept saying to one another, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." I showed you in the text. I'm going to show you again. They both said it when you get time. Read John 11 and 21. That's when Martha said, "Lord, if my brother had been here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That was Martha. But then Mary said the same thing in John 11, verse 32. They both said the same thing. If you're not careful, I told you this last week. You got to quit letting other folk make their problems your problem. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute, too. We also got to be careful trying to wear our hearts on our sleeves, trying to tell everybody else our problems, and they can't help you. They can't help you. Amen. Mary and Martha doubted, watch this, the Lord could raise Lazarus from the dead. They were weeping because Lazarus died, and they lost their faith. I'm talking to somebody that Jesus was a miracle worker. If you're taking notes, write this down. Mary and Martha had more faith in death than they had in Jesus. Good God Almighty. They had more faith in death than he had in Jesus. And Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. Then James tells us something here, and back in James 1, how to focus our faith further down in the text. He says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Verse 7 says, "That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Listen, you might be, continue on. So sometimes you're on hold because we got to refocus our faith because we have doubts and we have fears. Yeah. But it might be also we lose our focus because of unconfessed sin, broken relationships. When you have time, read Matthew 5, 23 through 24. There are times when things stall in your life because God has said you have some ought against your brother. You have some unconfessed sin, and you got to fix that thing. Amen. Yes, on the journey of faith, the waiting or being put on hold sometimes feels like the hardest part. It's hard because of the temptations that will come as we wait for God to act. It's hard because when we give in to those temptations and we resort to human solutions apart from God, the troubles really don't go away. Sometimes they get worse and possibly become permanent. God Almighty. The answer for waiting actually is found in the heart. The heart that knows God, hears and sees, and therefore prays and believes that yielding patiently to God's wise and sovereign will is the best place for us to be. There is no more beautiful a place than in the perfect will of God. There is no more safe a place than being in the will of God. God won't stop you from doing what you want to do. You can do whatever you think is supposed to get done outside of his will, but that won't make your troubles go away. It quite possibly might not only make it worse, it might make your trouble permanent. The answer for waiting is waiting for God's sovereign will. So somebody be asking, okay, well, Pastor King, so then what should I do when God has me on hold? Well, number one, I want you to know, I've been saying it, it's in the text, it's in the sermon. You need to hang in there, or in other words, don't you hang up. I know we get hung up on our hang-ups, but don't you hang up on God. Too often we are impatient when we are put on hold. We just hang up. Remember them old school phones? When you got mad at somebody, you wanted to hang up, but you wanted them to hear it in their ear. And even then, if we don't hang up, if it ain't hanging up, we just walk out. And we don't walk out quietly. Sister Nelson, we want folk to see us walking out. We want you to know I'm not happy and I'm about to leave up in here. Come on, somebody. Amen. And then not only do we just either hang up, or not only do we leave and walk out, then we get an attitude. We say words like, forget it, or never mind. Now, that's the PG version. Don't y'all say what some of y'all say. Because I know how we talk, so we Christian. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know. Yeah, now I got a whole bunch of throats clearing up in here. What do you do when God has you on hold? Number one, hang in there. Don't hang up. But number two, pray and seek God's guidance. You need to ask for wisdom. Here's the big one I need for all of us to pick up on is number three, don't blame or take your anger out on yourself or anyone else for your problems. Here's another one. When God puts you on hold, what do? Here's another one. Don't rush into making quick decisions or judgments. Here's another one. When you're on hold, follow God's lead and direction. And then finally, it's in the text. When you're on hold, what do? Do what James says do here in the text. You rejoice and you praise God. And the reason you can do that is because if you breathe it, there's hope. Amen. And every day that God allows you to live and see is a day of possibilities. Amen. Amen. And if you say you're struggling and every day you say I'm struggling, I say keep up the struggle, because I mean you got some fight in you. Amen. When folks stop struggling in the struggle, that means they've given up. That means the struggle has a stranglehold over them. And in their mind, there's no hope. As a matter of fact, they feel helpless. Do what James says to do here in the text. You rejoice and you praise God. Why? Because that means God's not through with you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. You do know that there's some boys walking around in men's clothing. And you do know that there's some girls walking around in women's clothing. That means we haven't been mature. And some of that is not always in the physical. Some of it is in the spiritual. We have to mature and complete, not lacking anything. As I get ready to close and the doors of the church are open, you can stand. Let me ask you this question. Are you waiting on God? Are you waiting for God to give you guidance? Are you waiting for God to give you deliverance? Are you waiting for God to act in a particular situation? I need you to pray. I need you to believe. And I need you to wait patiently, because I need you to know that God sees you. God hears you. You pray and believe because the Lord fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. I need you to keep waiting. God will act on your behalf. Amen. For somebody, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I've certainly encouraged you to hang in there. But for somebody else, I believe God just might be waiting on you. God has already given you the answer to the prayer. He's already opened the door. He's waiting on you to walk through it.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.